it's a Tuesday night. We have been gone for 4 weeks. So if you're there, make sure you let us know tonight with a text or an email, because we are going to be starting the show live on this Tuesday night. And it is about a minute after 8. We're late. Can you believe that? After 4 weeks, we're going to start the show about 25 seconds to 30 seconds late. Go figure, right? It's not my fault. It's got to be Jim's fault, don't you think? There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date is, well, I know it's August. Let me see here. Let me guess. Let's see. Is it the... Oh, it's the 6th. It's the 6th of August, 2015, and it is about 2 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. You know, we're going to be changing time here in the next few weeks. So for you folks that live outside of the United States of America, make sure that you make note of the fact that in the fall, we turn our clocks back 1 hour in the central part of the United States of America. So in the weeks to come, be ready for that. So far, I think it takes place in November, but we'll give you the specific date, but I want to let you know. And also, we're live tonight after a four-week period of enlightenment, learning. Good things, bad things, all kinds of things. Bad food, great food, well, you know, life in general. Okay, so let's get down talking about exactly what we're going to be addressing on tonight's show. Because if you've listened to this radio show with any regularity over the last couple of years, and thank you very much for doing so, and we're excited to be back. Hope you're excited to have us back. Is every time something happens in my life or Jim's life or in Ranger's life, and sometimes it's a text or an email that sends us in a very positive direction that we can all learn from. That's testimony. Now, we're going to talk a lot about testimony tonight. And because we haven't really covered it the way we're going to cover it tonight. And every once in a while we do a show that makes people think, makes them a little upset, makes them happy. Well, tonight we're going to do that because we just wanted to make sure that after not having a show for 4 weeks, that the first show was really going to be a boat rocker. So get ready for some interesting radio tonight. What is testimony? To testify. If you're in a courtroom and you're on the witness stand, your testimony, you're testifying to events that have occurred. What have you witnessed? The the defense attorney, the prosecution, the judge. Perhaps it's a jury trial and there are 12 of your peers hanging on every word of your testimony. And you're testifying. You put your hand on a Bible and you take an oath that you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, which means your testimony has to be accurate and pure as to your involvement into the event, into what you witnessed, what you saw, what you heard. Now, somewhere, the word testimony and testify gets lost in translation when it comes to organized religion and worship. Because you tell somebody, what is your testimony? Testify to God. And they'll say, God is good. God is great. I'm saved. I'm reborn. I'm a child of God. God is endless, boundless. Well, that's not a testimony. There's no meat on the bone. There's no experience. There's really no true action or events, is there? Because to testify, to have testimony, means to have what? Hands-on witnessing or participation in some type of occurrence or events or situations. And interestingly enough, Scripture talks about this, doesn't it, Jim? Grab your microphone, Jim. We're on the radio. It talks about how come together in a church to testify, and it's about people who have seen grace, used grace, experienced grace, have been on the receiving end of grace's love. They've been healed. Because that is what a testimony is. That is testifying.
You know, this afternoon I was thinking about this very thought. And as I was reading, I think I'll read that to you right now. It's Ephesians 2 and 11 to 13. Listen to what it says here, and then I'll get right into BJ's question. After all, verse 11, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. When I arrived in Troas to proclaim the message of the Messiah, I found the place wide open. God had opened the door. All I was to do was to walk through it. But when I didn't find Titus for me, with news of your condition, I couldn't... that's 2 Corinthians, excuse me. Boy, a little bit rusty here, folks. I gave you the wrong verse here. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. It's going to make sense here. But don't take any of this for granted. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this. Didn't know the first thing about the way God works. Hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. Hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. And then, of course, it says, now because of Christ, dying that death, shedding that blood, you who were once out of it altogether are in on everything. Okay, here's why I use this verse to answer BJ's question about testimony. And isn't the Bible filled with this idea about the experiences that we have being the testimony? And here's how I want to answer that. Like I said, this afternoon I was thinking about this. And when I read that part that said you knew nothing of that rich history, you think back to the whole reason why God actually chose the nation of Israel. Because, you know, God doesn't prefer anybody. We see that over in the book of James, that he is not into preference of one person over another. That's not how he does what he does. And yet you could look at God choosing the nation of Israel as a blessed nation and say, well, look at how God's preferring the nation of Israel. That's not what God was doing. God chose the nation of Israel to make a covenant with them so that there could be an experience between the nation of Israel, its people individually, and God Himself. And that experience between the nation of Israel and between the people individually would set them apart from everyone else. In other words, the rich history goes back to God wanting to demonstrate His love, His power, and His desire to be with all mankind through a nation of people. Not to single them out to make them special, but to single them out to show everybody what He wants and His desire to meet the needs of all mankind. So when you ask the question, BJ, about testimony, the whole Bible is nothing but a testament to God's desire to want to be with people. So it is an individual thing, and it is a thing for the whole world. It's all about testimony.
It is. And as harsh as it sounds, the question that I ask people, I'll say, what's your testimony? And they'll say, well, what do you mean? And I'll say, you believe in God? And they say, yes. And I says, you're a Christian? And they say, yes. And I say, okay, what's your testimony?
Right.
And some of them get quiet because they're not sure. They're not sure what to say. And a lot of times, they'll just fire back, God is good, God is great. I believe in, Scripture.
Right.
I live a certain way. And I'll say, okay, that's not testimony.
Right.
You're not testifying to grace. You're not testifying to the actions of God. I mean, testimony is either talking about the wrath of God or the loving hand of God.
Mm-hmm. The goodness of God, yep.
It's one or the other. That is a confusion that people shouldn't feel guilty about, because I don't even know how many centuries of lost in translation of what a testimony is. It could go back as far as when Jesus was still walking around. I really don't know. Folks, on tonight's show, we want you to comment about the topic, but Jim and I want to know about the last 4 weeks. What were you doing with your relationship with the guys? What happened? What was going on with you? And I don't mean about missing the show, but I just mean, like, have you advanced? Did you... what exactly has occurred over 4 weeks? We want listeners to share this with each other. You can text the show. The way you text the show is the first word that you type is Ranger. Ranger's laying here right next to me. R-A-N-G-I, Ranger. And then after you spell Ranger, then you type out your text message. And when you press the send button, and it asks you for a phone number to send it to, it's just 5 digits, 2 9s, 30. 30s, that's 99000. 2 9s, 30s. Also, you can email the show. It's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces, just The Abiding Presence at G, the letter Gmail. And we've already got some... We already got a few text messages, which is great.
Right.
We got one that says, hi, Ranger, having a good day. She is. Ranger's having a good day.
Yep.
We got another one that says, I am so excited. Thank you, thank you. I guess they mean that we're back on the air.
Good.
And then we got another text that says, I missed the show so much. All your listeners are here, baby. Laugh out loud.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I wonder what message Ranger sent to everybody. Okay, we got emails. We got an email here that came in from Breakfast Ed. Breakfast Ed sent us an email 15 minutes ago. It says, hey guys, just wanted you both to know how much we appreciate you guys and all that you are doing to sow into our thought process. Great to have you back. for this evening. Oh, it's great to be back, isn't it? Okay, we got another one here that says, hello, looking forward to tonight's show. Glad you are back up and running live. It says, P.S., might be heading that way this weekend. I will bring Rice Krispie Squares treats if I do. Laugh out loud. This is from Christine. Do you know Christine?
Yes, she's from Omaha, Nebraska, remember?
Oh, yes. I do remember. Mm-hmm. You're going to love this. Great to have you guys back, exclamation points. And then there's a huge business card. Three guesses.
Business card, Bob.
Business, what are you eating? Chocolate-covered peanuts?
Hey, it's the show. Hey, that's what we do.
I just inquired. I didn't mean for you to get upset and defensive. So we've heard from Business Card Bob, Christine, and Breakfast Ed, which means there's a lot of you that we would love you to email and text the show. We're talking about testimony.
That's what I've been doing for 4 weeks.
What?
Eating snacks.
Have you?
No.
Wish I was. So you spent 4 weeks going to some your daughter's volleyball games.
I did.
And what else did you do? I mean, what have you done as far as your own relationship with the guys over the last 4 weeks other than eating snacks and watching volleyball?
Well, the coolest thing for me, because, you know, you always see grace, but, okay, let me see if this makes sense. It's so easy to see grace in the day.
Yeah.
The outside, the beauty of God, what he's done, grace everywhere.
I agree.
Now let's go one step further, which is where I want to see all the people on Wednesday night go, and we're seeing some wonderful testimonies of that.
At the Hardesty Library.
Where they're taking it to the next step, where it's not just that they notice the beauty of God's grace everywhere. Now they're starting to see it become actual testimonies themselves. So I've been seeing all kinds of testimonies, things where it's just constant. Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely you guys. I mean, even tonight you can share this in a little bit, even about the show and how the show got up, you know, up and running. Because, folks, it would have been very easy for us not even to have a show tonight with Live 365, little complications here. And yet all of it was just, I think you said, BJ, 22 minutes. And it went from, oh, okay, we're in trouble, to we're live. And so I've been seeing all kinds of wonderful things, just in the smallest, but yet really cool things where God just gets more and more and more involved. So I'm seeing, I'll use a big word, a plethora of these things happen in my own life. Now, for others, BJ, I mean, just even recently, I talked to the pastors, Tom and Heather Flores from Riverside, California. I was there and ministered. And this is so cool. I mean, one of their couples hasn't been able to have children because the woman has those fibroid tumors on her ovaries, and she has had no menstrual cycle and has not been able to. Well, we ministered to her, and that very night, while she was at the church, we ministered to her. She went into the restroom and immediately started that cycle that she hadn't had in years. Another woman was brought, who was in hospice on basically her deathbed from cancer all through her body, hasn't eaten in 3 weeks. And as soon as we ministered to her, all of a sudden she looks at her family and says, take me to In-N-Out Burger. And of course, you know what In-N-Out Burger is, right?
I do. Tasty In-N-Out.
There you go. And she went to In-N-Out Burger and had a burger and had fries, ate the whole thing, and went home that next morning, got up, all of her color was back in her face. Now she's doing all this stuff, energy to burn. I mean, God touched her and healed her of cancer. And we saw a ton of other things. A lady's getting ready to have surgery that week. Has nothing in between the bone on bone in her knee. I mean, how painful will that be? Running up and down the stairs, running on the stage, jumping, healed instantly by God. So we saw so many things happen in that meeting. I'm just having a lot of fun and have been for the last 4 weeks.
All right. Now, folks, think about this. What we're asking, okay? And let's see. We got a couple more emails here I got to read. All right, we got one here that says 3 weeks for this question.
Oh, that's really good.
It says,
bless their patience.
It says, okay, John 10.9.
Okay.
It says, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved. And then in parentheses, it says, will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and find pasture. In and out of where? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
But you have to look at the story that Jesus is painting. He's talking about a shepherd with sheep. And the sheep have the liberty to come into the sheepfold, but they have the liberty to go out of the sheepfold and find the pasture. So we're talking about when you come into Christ and you accept him and you become a part of God's family and there's a wonderful new nature in you, the privileges are to actually have a family, to have a safety, to have an abode with God, a home with God, and yet at the same time have the liberty to be able to actually function as a part of that family where you can experience all the health and the blessings of God and the wonderful provision of our Lord and the peace of God in your life in the midst of all kinds of heinous stuff going on in the world. So it's a wonderful privilege, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't get caught up on the in and out as much as realizing that all of it's a part of God.
We got another email that came in 3 minutes ago. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, and all the listeners from Pasco, Washington.
Okay.
That's Roman.
Roman, good.
So Roman's saying hello to everybody. Okay, then we got another one here that says, my wife and I have really just been enjoying every day the last 4 weeks. Life is pretty simple and easy when you keep focus on the right things. Glad you guys are back. Jamie, Jocelyn, and Zena. See, Zena is a black dog. And
is that Montana?
No.
No.
No. You know who I'm wondering who this is? This might be the septic tank truck race car
driver.
I'm guessing, no. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, they're going to say, no, this isn't me. Okay, we got one. I got a text that just came in. Glad you're back! Exclamation mark. We missed you! Exclamation mark. Rob and Dorothea.
Oh, good.
New Jersey.
Yeah, they're the other couple in New Jersey, along with Bob and Kim.
Business card Bob's buddies.
Right. You know,
Bob and Rob.
Don't want to bring up something really bad, because I have heard comments.
What? Why are you spoiling
things? I've heard comments from individuals that actually kind of got so grossed out with the race story for the fried butter that they couldn't listen anymore because the fried butter made their minds just go, ooh, you know? But I wanted to mention that I went to the fair the other night and I was looking for fried butter but couldn't see it. Not because I was going to eat it. I just wanted to see if those two ladies were there and they were racing to get the fried butter.
Now think of what he just said. He said, I didn't want any deep fried butter on a stick. I just wanted to see two 400-pound women racing for fried butter.
I wanted to see if they were there. They might follow the fair everywhere. Who knows?
You're a pasteurizer. You're supposed to be pasteurizing. But no, where are you at the county fair looking for
deep fried butter?
Customers. Customers of.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you.
Did you see it for sale? I was a customer
of roasted corn, and it was amazing.
Did you see it at the fair?
No, I didn't.
Somebody said it was there. They said they were afraid to buy it, but they said there was a line of people.
I can't believe there's just a line of people.
Well, there's a line of people for everything. I'm not kidding you.
My girls had a half of a Krispy Kreme donut burger.
Huh.
I couldn't do that. They said it was kind of good because of the saltiness of the burger and the sweetness of the bun. But they couldn't have eaten a whole one, but they ate a half of one.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Okay, let's go beyond the fair.
We got
stuff.
An email that says, I'm up in Canada, just tuning in and so happy you are live tonight. Welcome back. Missed you all. This is from Debbie. So keep those emails and texts coming. If you don't know how to email or text the show, if you go to the Abiding Presence website on the contacts page, it will show you how to be a part of the show. and let us know what you've been doing the last 4 weeks. What do you think of tonight's topic? Talking about testimonies. We got an email here that says, Jim said what he was doing. You, BJ. Yeah, this is good. You, BJ. What were you doing for four shows? Well, isn't that an interesting question, isn't it, Jim?
Interesting.
It's one way to put it, isn't it? Well, the one weak link in the broadcast, other than Jim's inability to buy snacks sometimes, is that Jim comes and sits down in a comfortable chair and puts on a set of headphones and talks into a microphone, which means anything to do with the broadcast or the radio show is the other side of the table, which is Ranger and myself. And so, in other words, if the cowboy and the dog aren't here, nothing happens. And I was on the sixth floor of a hospital in the cardiac area in a hospital room for 22 days, and Jim came and visited me a lot, and there came a time during that period where remember, Jim, they said there'd be a 20% chance I'd make it. And then they, remember when they lowered it to 10?
10.
They lowered it to a 10% chance that I'd make it, which meant live, survive, ever leave the room. And, well, obviously, we don't really participate in those kind of things. Obviously, Grace was right, and they were wrong. I'm back at the ranch. But it got to the point where there was attorneys and last will and testaments and
yeah, I was going to get a gun.
You were?
I know.
Well, actually, you were getting two guns.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to get a .22 Derringer that you really like, and then I was going to give you
the .22.
A .22 rifle.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to give you a .22 rifle and a .22 Derringer and probably 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
And you were also going to get, which is ironic. Okay, think about this, folks. They're having me fill out a last will and testament. I mean, they're demanding it, right? I mean, and because that's how, I mean, it is so close to me checking out that 10% chance I'll make it another day or two. So everybody's quiet, solid. People are coming to say goodbye. And I'm filling out all these legal documents and everything because the world has decided that BJ is going to be deader than a can of corned beef in the next 24 hours. And now think about what I'm going to say next. I literally just said a couple minutes ago that Jim comes to the barn, sits down in a comfortable chair, puts on headphones, and talks into a microphone. In other words, all the computers and broadcasting equipment, Jim doesn't know how to operate. He's never been schooled in it. It's completely foreign to him. And the first thing I told him is I said, Jim, I said, you're getting that .22 Derringer of mine that he liked, and he was kind of quiet, and you were sad because you were worried about me. And the next thing I said is, I says, well, you know, I'm leaving you the radio station. And I says, I'm leaving you the radio station. The whole room, all the equipment is yours. And the reason he just started laughing is because I'm leaving him a room full of electronical gear that it's like leaving somebody a car that's never seen a car, doesn't know how to drive.
No, it's worse than that. Because you could figure the other one out. You can't figure this out.
No. And, you know, I thought about it because I was talking to the owners of the ranch because they were really sad. They were really depressed, you know. And it had already been decided. Everybody wanted me to be buried here on the ranch. I have a couple of horses. I had a matched team of Palomino mares that are buried together here on the ranch. And everyone decided that I should be buried here on the ranch. And so that was kind of sad. And I'd picked out a spot really, literally by the horses. And I started to think, I thought, there is not enough paper for me to write instructions, how to turn this computer on and how to get to this program. And it was funny, I'm in the hospital and I'm writing all this stuff down for the attorney. And he says, I can't believe you're laughing at this time. And I said, I'm leaving Jim the radio station. I says, he knows how to sit in a chair and talk into a microphone. I'm leaving him all this equipment, and he's not going to know what to do with it
right,
or how
I'm
to
thinking,
move it.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
So obviously...
A blessing or a curse?
Yeah, so obviously, Grace says, the only way we can save Jim from this giant catastrophe is... We got to just let the cowboy live a
really,
little while
everything,
longer.
Everything turned for the good when the woman, the wife of the owner, which she would be an owner too, of the ranch, decided to put one of the statues over top of your grave as a grave site.
Yeah.
When you heard that,
yeah,
then all of a sudden you came back.
Yeah, I said, this can't be. But you know, I talked to her yesterday on the phone. Mm-hmm. And they're still looking for the right monument.
Okay,
it says, will you share, BJ, your testimony when I texted? Well, we talked about this because Jim would come in after the Hardesty Library, after you had talked in front of a group in Manford, Oklahoma. I mean, Jim would come into the hospital like 10, 11 o'clock at night and stay until 1 or 2 in the morning. And the hospital room was quiet and it was pretty dark and shadowy. And sometimes there was snacks. And you would just sit in that chair and we would have these long, long talks about Grace and
what was
happening. Well, you have
to understand why it was long. It was long because you would fade in and out.
I would fade in and out. I'd drift in and out of consciousness.
Yeah.
Part of it was drugs, part of it was lack of sleep, and part of it was I just didn't want to listen to what you were saying.
So then half the time I was able to actually tell you a few things or two.
Yeah, but there was times when I was completely aware of everything.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was that my time spent in the cardiac unit was it was kind of interesting because the rooms around me, you know, I mean, it's private, but it's not. The rooms around me learned that there was someone who was getting ready to die. That you know, I was down to the last hours, the last day. And some of them had open heart surgery, and some of them, their pacemakers had failed. But this is a cardiac unit, so everybody up there was considered serious. It wasn't just... You know, if you were in this part of the hospital, it's because things just almost couldn't get any worse. And when they found out I was going home, they were curious as to what had occurred or why. And my activity of standing up, walking around, was motivation to some of the neighboring rooms. Remember me telling you about that?
Mm-hmm.
That people would say, well, what has happened to this horseman? What's happened to this cowboy? Why is he walking around in his room? One neighbor literally asked the nurse, why is this guy still here? The nurse came in and she says, you know, she says, if you weren't feeling better, I wouldn't tell you. She says, but it's really kind of funny now. She says, the man across the hall, he literally keeps asking, why is this guy still here? And I says, well, does he know me? And she says, no. And she says, but he's literally just kind of flummoxed as to, you know, why you haven't died yet. So there was grace. And what I learned, I guess my testimony for being in the cardiac unit and them giving me 20 and then 10% chance of making it out of there is that at any given moment of the day, for all of us, for Jim, myself, and everybody listening to the show, any given moment on any day of your life, right now as you're listening to this show, right now if you're listening to the show as it streams and repeats during the week, right now if you listen to the show on the archives page 6 months to a year from today's date, which is the 6th of October 2015, at any given moment in your life, you have a conscious decision, and it's not serious. It's not a large one. It's literally like looking at a drive-up menu, deciding if you want a large or medium drink. It's like being in a restaurant at a salad bar, and you're trying to decide if what you want to put on your salad plate. It is a quick, very subtle, simple choice to be made on whether you buy into and choose God's love, or you buy into and choose what's happening to you. And I'll give you an example. At the exact time that one of the leading, most important cardiologists in the state of Oklahoma is sitting in a chair 3 feet from my bed, and he's saying, I never like to have this conversation. And usually we have friends or family present, but I understand you live alone and you're kind of a reclusive person. And he says, but you have to understand that tomorrow, Friday, it's a 10% chance that things are going to go in our favor. And he says, do you understand? And I says, yeah, it means there's a 90% chance that tomorrow I'm going to die. And he says, that's right. And he says, I hate it. I wish there was something that I could do. There just isn't. He says, is there anybody you want? Is there anything we can do for you? And I says, no, I'm good. And he got this funny look on his face. And he says, you are good. And he says, I am. And he says, you are really at peace with this. And I says, I am. And even Jim and I talked about this. And Jim, do you recall when I said, it's 50-50, I'm trying to make up my mind whether to stay or go home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
And Jim had this, he just kind of shook his head like he understood. And it was literally, and what I was literally saying is that it wasn't so much, well, I mean, I was saying live or die, whether I stay or go home, yes. But the essence of what I was saying was, do I want to participate in Christianity? Do I want to embrace grace, or do I want to embrace my flesh and my world? Which reality do I choose? Where am I going to give my attention? It's no different than if you decide to turn your head to the east, or do you turn your head to the west? And just think how simple that is. Do you look right or do you look left? Do you look up or do you look down? That's the essence of grace. It has to be, because we're born with it. So what I'm saying, on any given moment, on any given day, we choose to have grace. Why don't you knock that up to medium speed? It's kind of warm in here. And so think about it for a second. You're in a fight with a loved one. You've tripped and you've sprained your ankle. You've slammed your finger in a car door. You've cut your finger when you're slicing a tomato or a cucumber. Someone says something that makes your blood boil. Someone cuts you off in traffic. Your children do something wrong and it enrages you. Someone disrespects or hurts your feelings. At any given moment, we have a choice to make. And it's ours alone to either sacrifice or to benefit from. No one's going to get any glory out of it. And the only punishment is to ourselves to choose grace. So that's my testimony.
And let me add...
Did any of this make sense?
It did. Let me add to those listening. All sins are forgiven. All bad choices are forgiven. All alternative choices are forgiven. Which just means, you know, if you find yourself struggling with a particular way of seeing something and you buy into it, and obviously you begin to reap the repercussions. Why would I struggle on that? Repercussions of that choice to make a choice about grace, you instantly begin to reap the benefit of grace.
Yeah.
There's no, you really need to see this particular part of it. God is not, grace, the job of grace is to help and benefit humanity. That's the reason why it's called grace, folks, because it's the work that Jesus did for us. And it's not based on your work or your performance. So guess what? There's scriptures that talk about this where it says, will the faithlessness of man nullify the faithfulness of God? And the answer is, God forbid, no.
Yeah.
Because God is faithful to himself, regardless of man's faithfulness, which means the grace of God to help and benefit humanity is there no matter the choice that man makes, which means if you've made a choice that involves the world and the flesh and the repercussions of that choice are things that are not pleasant and are not what you would like, aren't you glad that grace is not offended, that grace is there for the very moment you turn to her or to him? Grace is there for you to experience God's benefit, his blessing, his help, his provision. And that's one of the things that I think in the midst of any type of crisis you can find, where you then find the benefit of what Jesus did. It makes you really appreciate what he accomplished for us. In fact, you know, as time goes on in the show, I'm going to read something more that tells us this very thing.
The reason I chose the flesh and the world and I didn't go home was a personal choice because, Jim, you know, Ranger was going with me.
Uh-huh.
I was going, Ranger was going, and I figured I've done enough. You know, I might as well just go home and be with the guys, and Ranger was going with me. But the reason I didn't choose to go home is because there are some things that I want to do that have nothing to do with me. I mean, it isn't like I want to go on a vacation or I want to, you know, try and invent my own flavor of ice cream. It isn't something like that. It has to do, one of them was the radio show. I thought there was things that could be accomplished that we haven't. I thought there was still a lot of education on Jim's part to learn what a true decent snack is.
You're such a turd.
Notice his language. See, he's been around me too long. but there was just things that I thought that I wanted to do and could do. There's somebody that works at the ranch that I've been mentoring for 2 years. There was just things that I chose. But see, that's my testimony. And see, look what a testimony is. Because it's about action. It's about what has occurred. And evidence of it. Tangible evidence. That like you're on that witness stand. Who, what, when, why. And where? What'd you hear? What'd you do? And so think about what your testimony is. Do you have a testimony? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And if you don't, perhaps that's disappointing. Maybe it's depressing. Maybe it makes you sad. But it's actually great that you realize that you don't have a quote-unquote testimony. Because now you can choose to do something about it.
Yep. Yep.
You can't fix something if you don't know that it's broke. You can't change something if you don't know that it should be altered. You don't have a testimony if you don't understand that you haven't experienced something or chose to do things to have a testimony about. It says, thanks for staying. You are right. The body of Christ needs you. Well, that was a nice text.
It was.
I'm just going to assume they're talking about Ranger. Because
well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and finish some of these scriptures here in Ephesians 2 and 14. Again, just talking about testimony, it says, the Messiah has made things up between us so that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsider and Jewish insider. In other words, folks, what he's getting at here is everybody can enjoy the rich heritage of nothing but testimony after testimony of God benefiting and blessing the Jewish people, the Israelites. And he's saying now that you come through Christ, everybody can have that benefit of tangible presence of God at all times. And so he goes further to say, Jesus tore down the wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he started over. Instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being. Look at that. A fresh start for everybody. And on down it goes in verse 19. It says, that's plain enough, isn't it? Well, I think what Paul's trying to get to with all of us is, hey, everyone.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all.
Yes.
For anyone connected to God to literally be able to start from A to Z and name off testimony after testimony, experience after experience. And there's no one but yourself and God that will be more thankful to have that kind of life.
At any given moment,
yeah.
Any given time.
Right.
It's for you to decide.
Right.
We got a text that says, so are you, are you 100%? No, it's just the opposite. They couldn't explain why I was standing, walking, and talking. Every time my heart beats, a valve leaks blood. My heart doesn't beat right. It stops once in a while, literally. As far as medically, I'm pretty much a total wreck. I'm not supposed to leave the house. I'm supposed to sit. I'm not supposed to drive. I'm not supposed to lift more than 2 pounds. They say that at any moment, kaboom, I'll just explode like a carnival balloon. I'm operating farm equipment, driving four-wheelers. I lift Ranger out up and down. She weighs 85 pounds. I'm walking, talking, walking all over the ranch, ordering people around, and I'm not supposed to do any of that, am I, Jim? I'm just supposed to be a house mouse. Like that's going to be me. I mean, if I was dead 10 years, I still couldn't be a house mouse. That's not, mm-hmm. My DNA isn't made that way. So, but see, that's grace, and it shows that we have a choice. I mean, look, when you slam your door in a finger, when you slam your finger in a door, it's going to hurt. I'm here to tell you, it's going to hurt bad. And you're going to scream, and you're going to want to cry. But what I'm saying is, you then have a choice. You can be grateful for knowing that there is a God. You can be happy knowing that you have a relationship with the guys. And you can be thankful that grace is going to wash that pain away. As easily as a summer breeze cools your brow when you're sweating in the hot summer sun. The choice is yours to make. That's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the book of Genesis. All that Adam and Eve and that serpent did was accept the negative. Okay, we accept the punishment, we accept the negative, we are the negative, we are going to live the negative. At no time did they pause and look for grace or God's forgiveness. They literally just went with what they were served. So if you're served a finger that's killing you, if you're served with a swollen knee or ankle or with a sore back or maybe an elbow that aches, if you accept that and you start to live that, well, whose fault is that? You're literally turning your back on an opportunity of another choice that you have.
You know, this kind of understanding that's being delivered to you folks, if you look at it through the eyes of going all the way back to the book of Genesis, these aren't things that we've never shared, but these are things that we're sharing maybe in a certain particular light right now that I think it could be very helpful to everyone. But if you go back to the book of Genesis, to be made in the image and likeness of God. Now, God is light and there is no darkness in him. But if it were possible for there to be darkness in God, if he pointed himself towards darkness, acknowledged it, accepted it, bought into it, he would create darkness. But God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So when God points himself anywhere, acknowledges where he points himself, buys into the idea or the imagination or creativity of what he's pointing himself towards, he creates it. The goodness, the wonders of creation, man himself being made in the image and likeness of God. I share that because we're made like him. Our only downfall is that we have a side now through sin that allows us to point ourselves in the direction of evil, wrongdoing, the devil's thoughts and imaginations, the world and the flesh. And when we do acknowledge it, just like Adam, they acknowledged it, they bought into it, and they experienced it, the flesh and the world. And it got so bad so quick because they were pointed 100% in that direction that they continued to create a world of darkness out of a world of light.
Yeah.
Now think about that in your own life. I think this is, to me, the most astounding story, that a man ran a 26-mile race called a marathon.
Right.
Finished it in flying colors, only to wake up the next morning and feel a little bit of pain in his chest. And instead of just brushing it off like, well, of course there might be a pain, I just ran 26 miles.
Right.
He goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him he's in a particular last stage of cancer.
Right.
And he couldn't walk out of the hospital because his legs collapsed, his body collapsed, everything about him collapsed, and he died shortly. My point is, look it, you've got a guy that runs 26 miles as healthy as a horse, but he buys into a testimony that's negative and it literally grabs him. He points every bit of his creativity toward that, which he would, if he would have even given God 10%, he wouldn't have had to have a pain at all.
Right.
It just shows you how amazing God has made man, so much like God, that we can have what we buy into.
Well, see, and what's interesting is we got a text a little bit ago. It says, with grace, why would you even get to the hospital? Because I'm nobody important or special. If somebody listening to this radio show thinks me, BJ, is something special or different than you, you're wrong. And you're wrong on every level. And if that's the impression you have, it's wrong, because I didn't feel good for a month or two. And I just ignored it and was doing shows, was working around the ranch, and people would say, you don't look good. And I'd say, I don't feel real good, but don't worry about it. And I was just stubborn and working my way through it. Sometimes grace would help me. And other times when I really didn't feel or think about grace, it wouldn't. And so to answer your question, with grace, why would you even get to the hospital? Because two reasons. Number one, I was so close to dying that I was accepting the fact that I'm just sicker than a dog and I got to go. It's no other choice now. I've got to go. And also because I just didn't care if I died. I thought, I'm fine. I've had a good life. I'm good with it. I'm ready to go home. And if this is for me, I'm okay with it. So at the same time I'm acknowledging grace, I'm also buying into the being a click off, to buying into the flesh and to the world. And that's really the damnable reality for us all, is that there is going to be misfortune without compensation, which means that at any given moment, on any given day, we can choose grace, yet on any given moment, on any given day, we can buy into our bodies and the world and what we think is real and tangible. It's there for all of us to avoid or to fall victim from or to be victorious.
Yeah, I'm going to read something I think that'll help folks just see, because this becomes to everybody a real, let's all wake up. Remember now, Paul said that in the last day, and we're in that day, folks, he said it's time to awake from your sleep and be sober-minded. Now think of two things there. He's talking about awake from your sleep, so it means you're sleeping. Well, in what way are people sleeping today? Well, they're not awake to what's really going on. They're sleeping by this alternate reality that continues to change for the worse, and they're buying into that. So he says, awake. Awake to what? Because there's something to be awake for. Christ is coming. And the second thing he says is, be sober-minded, which means sober means the opposite would be people are drunk. They're drunk. They're intoxicated on the world. So we're admonished that way. Now listen to what he says through Paul, saying this over to Galatians in chapter 5, verse 16 of the Amplified. And you'll see that this is something that the man, woman of God, child of God, will always have to, I don't want to say fight, but become conscious of. This is the reason why, what I'm going to read, Paul said over in 2 Corinthians in 5, he said, God, I'm groaning within me. Oh, God, I'm groaning. Why are you groaning, Paul? Because I want this flesh to be dunked or immersed into the sea of God's immortality until this flesh is no longer giving me fits. He's not talking about sickness and disease here. He's talking about the struggle of the flesh to try to dominate the real person, and that is the spirit that you are. Look at what he says now in the 16th verse. He goes, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, or in the Spirit, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh or of the human nature without God. Now listen to verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, the godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but are prevented from doing what you desire. It shows you the struggle that is constantly before us, and the reason why we need to awake and be sober-minded to the grace, to the presence of God at all times.
We got an email.
Yep.
That came in a little. We need some emails, folks. It says, welcome back, man. I have missed the show. It's been a long 4 weeks. I listen to the archives, but always look forward to the live shows. It's amazing how fast I can fall out of grace and just feel all alone. Now I know I have never lost grace, but my attitude just wasn't up to par. But a couple of emails to a friend got me back on track in a hurry. I'm always a work in progress. It seems so easy for you all to keep it together. Laugh out loud. Keep up the good word. Chuck from Monroe, North Carolina. See, that's little Chucky Abernathy.
Oh, nice.
School night, Chuck. It's a school night. Isn't North Carolina in Eastern time zone?
It is.
So it's 9 o'clock here, which means it's 10 o'clock in North Carolina. So yep. I mean, we're not going to tell on them or anything. Got another email that came in 1 minute ago. It says, wow, this honesty is the most beneficial thing I've heard from you guys. I appreciate both of your honesty. And BJ, you are acknowledging your challenges, and you're not any different than us. Wow. Thank you, guys. You guys could have chosen to handle this any other way, and it would have been justified. Thank you for your open sharing and fielding our tough questions. I might be ahead of you, but how'd you get out of there? Just walk out of surgery.
I didn't have surgery.
No, I didn't have surgery. The surgery couldn't. Actually, what's wrong with my heart, surgery can't fix. That's part of the problem, is that what's wrong with my heart is so bad that it can't be repaired. One of the things that I think that everybody has to come to terms with is we all are dented. We're all flawed. We all have got our little picadillos, whatever they may be. And fortunately for us, we're lucky enough that most people never really find them all out. And so we kind of glide and slide through life with a little bit of discretion and a little bit of secrecy that provides a blanket of comfort that we all seem to enjoy. But is this not humbling to know that we are all flawed in our own way, and that we all have similar challenges that we must overcome on our own, in our own way, at our own time? Part of the reason that I am so negative with organized religion, and why I call them buildings and structures and garages and warehouses, and I never ever use the word church or churches, is because they have this way of painting over things. Doesn't matter why you're here, we're just glad you're here. We're all equal in the eyes of God, and we're gonna do this together. Praise Jesus. Well, what are we gonna do together? When it's an individual journey and there are individual choices to be made, what is our testimony as a group? Because the really only testimony of a group is, we're a group.
You could put any name on it.
That's right. But when you think of yourself as dented, as damaged goods, how can you not be open to grace? How can you not see that you have a choice, that there is a choice to be made? Remember, I say all the time, it's simple, but it's not easy. Because it is a simple choice, but it's not an easy choice, because you have to put yourself in a position where you see that you have a choice.
Uh-huh.
And what's really frustrating about life is the older you get, the busier you get. The older you get, the more you realize that your dreams are never going to come true. that you never imagined your life was going to go like this? And for every good day, there seems to be at least one or two, or sometimes three or four bad days. And you feel like you're just treading water. For every two steps forward, you take a step back. And so this day is like the last day, and tomorrow is going to be like today. It can be that way if you buy into it and say, yeah, this is me, this is what I got. But it doesn't have to be. But nobody can do that for you. Grace will eliminate it and get you out of it, but you've got to realize that there's grace, that there's choices to be made. We got a text, Jim. It says, yes, I see how we are all in constant need of grace. No one is exempt. We got an email here. It says, Weaver kids missed you.
That's nice.
They missed you, Jim. Especially the part where we get to stay up and listen to your show. You know, see, that's great. The Weaver kids get to stay up late to listen to the show. I wasn't aware of that. If I knew that, we'd add a couple minutes every week just for the Weaver kids. We got another text that just came on the screen. It says, looking back, how would you have done things differently? Jim? I don't know. Is that to me or to you?
That's you.
Oh, looking back, how would you have done things differently? You know, I used to lay in bed at night in the hospital room. Because you got to realize, folks, I've only been back here on the ranch literally for a week. For 7 days. Today is the seventh day that I've been home from the hospital. The nights are real long in the hospital. It's real quiet. There's not a lot going on except as soon as you fall asleep about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, all the lights come on and somebody comes in and draws blood from you. And then you're discombobulated and awake again. But I used to sit there and wonder. I used to think about all kinds of things with grace, and I'd worry about people next to me. There was a lady next to me that stopped breathing and they crashed, and they brought in all the equipment and the people, and the place just goes nuts when somebody codes. I mean, it's just, you think it's bad on TV, it's worse in reality. I'm telling you, the code blues, the codes on TV, they're nothing like the real thing in a cardiac unit. I'm here to tell you. And this lady, she coded, and I was just, I mean, literally on the other side of the wall, and I could hear them just zapping her, just bam, 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 just zapping her with the paddles, and people yelling this, that, all these drugs and everything. And I was sitting in my bed and I just said, you know, just do something. Why don't you guys just do something? I mean, I'm here. I know you exist. I have seen so much grace on the ranch. And I literally said this. Where the hell are you guys? Is this woman really going to die next to me? What kind of motivation is that for me to get the heck out of here? Because technically, I'm worse than this woman next door is. What's going on? I don't get it. Do something. Because it would be real handy. Thank you very much. And I said it with that much, literally, frustration, disdain, and a fraction of almost disrespect and sassing, saying, seriously? What is this? And in an instant, people start to drift down the hallways. I can hear equipment rolling out of the door. Some of it they park in front of my door because it's like a giant traffic jam of carts and nurses and LPNs and CNAs and doctors and everything. And this nurse comes in and she says, are you okay? And I says, yeah. I says, my room's empty. And I says, things okay? And she says, she shrugs her shoulders like in amazement. She says, yeah, we got her back. And I looked at the nurse and I says, you guys didn't do anything. I says, that was God. And the nurse smiled. And I knew it was grace. And then I said, there you go. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess my point being is looking back, how would you have done things differently? Looking back, I don't think I wanted to. I don't think I would. Because where else would I have gotten a testimony like that? Where else would I have witnessed that? Where else would I have seen my own mistakes and frailties? Where else would I have understood how I am so stupid, so weak, that I make mistakes and I suffer for ridiculous reasons? Because I learned. I advanced in my own relationship with the guys, and I understood my own weaknesses and my own dents. Now, why would I want to avoid that? So to answer your question, looking back, how would you have done things differently? I wouldn't. Because I'm here now. And plus, Jim and I had some very good conversations,
mm-hmm.
didn't we?
Yeah, real good.
So, all right, we got an email here. It says, hi, good evening. I'm so very glad that you guys are back on the air. Really missed you guys. I downloaded all of the past shows and have been listening to them all again and again. Wow, that's a lot of listening. I am seeing grace throughout my day, every day, and in every way. It is so wonderful. God bless you all. Thank you so very much. This is from Desiree.
Okay.
That's a nice email.
Yep.
Very Got nice. Another email here that says, wow, we need this radio teaching and you all to be okay. Appreciate the show even more, and I don't take anything of what you have taught for granted. BJ, did you ever feel fear, or were you always at peace? Was there ever a battle overcoming negative, fearful emotions when you were so close to death? Thank you for teaching us how we can live in grace. Please give Lady Ranger a big hug. Love to you all. I was never afraid of dying because maybe I'm an idiot. Most of my fear was based in the fact that Ranger and I were separated. And she was off her food, and people were saying that she was kind of depressed and sad. And she was having some issues of her own, and so it was tough being apart from her. And so that was my fear for Ranger, but not for myself. And was there ever a battle overcoming negativeness? Oh, yeah. Sometimes, minute by minute, hour by hour, sometimes, days I was fine. I mean, I remember that the day that Jim came in, and Jim was one of the executors. Remember, Jim mm-hmm. agreed to be one of the executors of my will. And the attorney had gotten everything for me to sign. And everybody was gone. There was, at one point, there was 5 to 6 people in my room, and then all of a sudden, everybody was gone. The television was off, and I was just sitting there in my room, and it was real quiet. And I was kind of at peace, but I wasn't. And I've been afraid a lot of times. I don't think there's anything wrong with fear. So when someone says they're never afraid and nothing scares them, in my book, they're an idiot. I mean, I think that the thing that makes someone feel good is to be afraid and to overcome it. To because fear is usually a mystery. The reason you're afraid is you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how if it's going to go right or wrong. Fear is usually based in doubt and a lack of information. So when you get information and you become educated and you get experience, the fear is gone. And I think that's true bravery. I think there's honor in that overcoming your fear, whatever it may be, something small or large. And Jim, Scripture talks about fear, and it talks about not worrying. I mean, especially when it says, don't worry about where you sleep.
Right, yeah, Scripture talks about God has not given us a spirit of fear, and I think there's a lot of people that are people that perpetuate fear. They live in fear constantly. They, in a not a good way to say it, but still going to try, they almost pet it. They use it to their advantage. They become paralyzed in it. You can see.
Yeah, there you go.
People find themselves not able to function because of fear. Well, I don't have any problem folks saying that there are spirits. Now, they're defeated, but they prey on the weakness of man. And if we give them weakness, well, all it takes is just like anybody else. It's just like having a bully in the group.
Yeah.
And you're playing, and the bully, well, remember what the bully said to me when I was, 4 years of age?
Yeah.
My dad brought home that brand new Bonneville, nice blue color, and he said, I dare you to take stones and scratch the car, and here I'm scratching it up and down while my dad went in to get my mom and bring her out and show her the brand new car he just brought home.
Right.
And he walks out, and here I've already scratched one side of it with stones. I mean, that didn't fare well for me, put it that way. Okay?
So I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
I'm shocked.
But everybody's been in a situation where there's a bully, there's an influence that messes with your life. Well, that's all that devils are anymore, folks. You got to understand, demon spirits, wicked spirits, they're all just an influence. They've been defeated. They have no power. They can do nothing to anyone lest an individual, through weakness or ignorance, yield to the way that they function. So, you know, there are spirits of fear. And fear is something that can be greatly yielded to. Ranger wants to get on the show.
She's agreeing with you.
Yes.
Okay.
But the greatest thing about this is, folks, listen. Jesus shed abroad in your heart the love of God. That's Romans 5 and verse 8. The love of God, 5 and verse 5. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. That means God's love casts out all fear.
Yeah.
Because fear of what happens if I don't do this and fear would I die. Well, all that dissipates for a believer because you're no longer basing your life off of you. You're basing your life off of Jesus. That's the love of God, where you have a brand new identity, and that brand new identity is what gives you strength. Listen, folks, BJ made some comments. And hey, you better turn that light on for me. I shouldn't be talking right now.
What are you talking about? Are you serious?
The whole show, I really haven't been on. The red light's on now, folks. I can talk. Okay, here we go.
Okay, now remember what I said about he comes in, he sits down, and he talks in a microphone and put headphones on? He doesn't know how to turn the red light on.
I know where it is. I'm just not over there. So I finally realized, oh my gosh, the red light's not even on.
I mean, this really is a real radio station. You know, like when the microphones are on, there's a red light on the wall. I got everything.
You know what? We've never replaced that red light in 4 years. You know what that means? I haven't said a lot.
No, that's not it at all. That is a 25-watt appliance bulb. And so they're a longer life bulb, and it's good for hundreds of thousands of hours, and I don't use that during my show. It's behind me.
Right.
I use that for you.
Yeah.
But see, I literally forgot to turn it on. I just said Jim, and we started talking. And
I know.
I didn't even say when the red light's on, your mic's on. Tuesday night.
I know. So I thought I'd say it for you, remind you. But let me get back to where I was, because now
you,
the
Jim.
Red light is on.
Thank you, Jim. Red light's on.
You're welcome. Thanks. But this is the real crucial reason, folks, why there is an identity in Christ. Listen, if you find yourself feeling real weak and emaciated, but you know that there's a strength inside of you that's bigger than any strength outside of you, that's what gives you courage. You know, BJ was talking about some things, and I was thinking about the comment that you've heard me say, but it's just an amazing and wonderful comment. And please, you know, if you want to write something down, this is really good. But A.W. Tozier, back in a day where a man was a real man, that's back in 1860s. You know, I mean, we're talking about a time where the word was the word, your handshake was your bond. Yep. I mean, it's principle and how you lived your life was everything, okay? This man made the comment, he said, real faith is where you put yourself on purpose in a position where you won't go back. But pseudo faith is where you have a way out in case God fails you. Folks, the reason why we make so much to do of, and we will continue to make so much to do of, who you are identified with by being with Christ, is because that's what gives you the courage and the strength to do what you would not do in your flesh. And that's where the miracles and the healings are.
I like that. That was good.
Anybody else writing to us?
We got one here. It says, wow, stretch, tilt, stretch, tilt, stretch, tilt. This is completely amazing. Recalibrating again and still. Glad you stayed, but I am selfish. Smiley face. That's from Christine. Got another one here that says, subject red light. I don't know what the red light is, but Jim has been on this whole time. Grace again. Actually, that's funny. I don't know what the red light is. Well, we answer all questions, folks, and I like that question. Okay. You've never seen the radio station. No one ever has. It's a room in the barn, and it's, I don't know, it's about 10 by 11, 10 by 12. It's a pretty small little room. And this is true now. The entire room, okay, there's carpet on the floor, but the walls and the ceilings, Jim, what's the walls and the ceilings?
Oh, can I guess how many there are?
Yeah.
I'd say that there's probably 1,200 egg cartons on the wall.
Well, you got pretty close, because don't you know?
No, I don't. I came up
okay,
with
that. Okay, here's the deal. There are egg cartons. They're 1 dozen in size. They're brand new, never used, and they're closed. Okay? Each egg carton is closed, and they're stapled to the walls and the ceiling. There are exactly 1,280 egg cartons, completely encompassing every square inch of the wall, including doors and the entire ceiling. And it gives us amazing sound, because I couldn't afford professional radio station soundproofing on the walls. It was past my money. I didn't have enough to do it, but I could buy egg cartons at the feed store. So I bought enough to and stapled them to the walls with a staple gun. And when we tested the sound, I had actually as good of sound quality as if I would have spent $15,000 on sound equipment. So we're in this room with egg cartons on the ceiling and the walls, and all this professional broadcasting equipment. I mean, this is a real radio station. This isn't podcasting. Okay, this is broadcasting. And if I bought a transmitter and a tower, we could be broadcasting on AM or FM radio all around the ranch. But the red light is because in radio, on the outside of a studio, there's always a red light to let you know that the mics are hot.
Right.
Don't go in the room.
Don't be barging in the room.
And we actually have enough chairs and microphones for four people, myself and three other people. And so I put a red light behind me up on the wall on the egg cartons so that people in this room would know when the microphones were on. So that's the red lights. Okay, we got an email. It says, I don't even know how to express what I'm feeling in my heart right now as I listen to your story. Your humility and openness is touching me on a level that is going beyond what I can comprehend right now. Thank you for teaching us about grace from your heart. It is definitely speaking volumes to mine. You are both truly a blessing and a source of strength in my life. Grace and peace to you all from Venetia and Deco. See, Deco's a dog. I think that's a cool name for a dog. That's from Venetia.
It is a cool name.
I like that name, Deco.
Deco.
It says, we got a text that says, BJ, with all your testimonies of the past, is it hard to make sense of your situation? Yeah, it is, because it sounds bad, but it's true. I wasted a whole day today waiting for someone to come to the ranch and give me an estimate on a huge
septic system,
on a huge multi-building sprinkler aerobic septic system. I mean, we're talking not just for a house, but for a multi-building septic system. And they told me when they were going to be here, so I blew off 6-7 hours today waiting for this person, and they never showed. And there was a moment this afternoon when I thought, I have literally wasted 6 hours of my life for nothing, waiting for this person. I mean, granted, Ranger took a nap in my lap, and I was kind of taking it easy, and things were going smooth on the ranch. All the cowgirls were working. But for an instant, I thought, I could have went home. I did. I thought, I could have went home, and I could have cared less about huge septic systems. And I just laughed to myself. It was just me and Ranger, and I just started kind of giggling, thinking, you know, if I was dead and buried right now, Ranger, we wouldn't have been wasting this time. We'd be with the guys, and, you know, I'd have an unlimited supply of Rice Krispie Squares and cherry Kool-Aid, and Ranger, you'd be running around with me. And so, I mean, as crass as that sounds, I have thoughts about the sense of my situation. Also, as to since I chose the way I chose, that I better make sure that I honor my part of it. That I do what I can when I can to the best of my ability. Because otherwise, it's not just my life and my time wasted. It's time and life wasted for anybody that comes in contact with me. And sometimes life isn't about quantity. It's literally got to be about quality. And I think that sometimes perhaps we get so busy every day that we forget about quality because we're drowning in quantities. We got an email here that comes in. It says, over the last 4 weeks, as Jim was keeping me in the loop as to what was happening, we have just been sitting around with nothing to do since our world revolves around this show. After hearing the same show 4 weeks in a row, we finally got tired of it. It says, just kidding, of course. BJ, we are definitely glad you decided to hang around. Jim can attest that we were supporting you the entire time if you had chosen to go, but the world is a better having you around. Our connection has kept getting better and better over these weeks. The rate that things the most would call a coincidence continued to occur at a higher and higher rate. Many things that most would say are small and insignificant just fall into place daily. The reality I see now includes a personal determination that everything in front of me is a personal choice to use my imagination and creativity to determine exactly what I want to occur. All the best. Breakfast Ed. And see what I thank you for this. I don't know if the world is a better place for me in it or not, because I'm quite the scamp. I'm you know, does not work well, play well with others type of personality. But what I really like about this, Jim, is where he talks about personal choice. And where he talks about coincidence, because including the Weaver kids and everybody listening to the show, it's a coincidence. Boy, we were lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't believe things went the way they did. Boy, that was close. Or, boy, it's sure nice that things turned out that way. I think those are testimonies missed. I think that if someone sat down, shut up, and took a deep breath and looked at the entire situation, they'd say, well, that just has to be God.
Well, you know, it's these smallest things. And, you know, we talked about this before, but Song of Solomon 2:15 tells us that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, which shows you that it's the little things that we buy into that actually bring trouble. So then what would, if you turn that around, bring you into a consciousness of God but the little things?
Yeah.
Because when somebody begins to discover and see all these coincidences, and they're happening very, very fluent in my life as well, constantly now.
Yeah.
The more that those things begin to happen, the more you build a confidence in God. Everything's about confidence when it comes to your convictions, when it comes to your resolve. It's about confidence. Confidence comes from your awareness or from your reality being touched, where the thing that's most real to you is the thing you'll give your allegiance to. And we make that statement a lot. But, you know, I'm listening to individuals tell me about their personal stories now, where they didn't have any personal stories before, BJ.
Right.
Where someone just told me recently, you know, just about, and I think this is great. And I mean, and I'm not trying to promote people running around and having to do the very same thing here, but I think it's the creativity is wonderful, and that is an individual that had had a difficulty in the past with a little one of those little tiny cancers that can get in your skin, you know, where they, right. It can continue to grow and stuff, and they had that removed. And here it's been X amount of years, 4 years or so, nothing, but all of a sudden on the cheek, there's the same type of dullness, type of spot. And, in other words, what would it suggest? It would suggest this is possibly another situation. It looks just like the first one. And so this time, this individual, so much more advanced in noticing grace everywhere, they just came up with it on their own, that the cream that they put on their face, they would call grace. And every time they put that cream on their face, they'd say, now I'm putting some grace on my skin right now. And within just a week, something that had been over 5 months of getting worse, within just 1 week's period of time, it's faded to where it's not even noticeable and disappearing completely. And something so simple as that. But where do you get those kind of that kind of creativity? Where do you get that type of connection? It's the smallest of little things, isn't it?
It is. And we have a text message that says, BJ, with all your testimonies of the past, it's hard to make sense of your situation. I'm sure it is. I'm sure to some that it's confusing, and others they just think, oh my gosh, you know, this is just one in a million. I think maybe something that will help you to understand is I've never really thought about it applying to me before. But there's a story where someone is blind. Jim, you'll have to help me out as to where it is in the book. There's a story of the guy that's blind. And Jesus comes in contact with him, and everybody is aware that he's been healed, right. And he tells Jesus that he can't see, mm-hmm. And Jesus just tells him to go on home, mm-hmm. And then on his way home, he regains his sight. I think that I can understand that story a lot better now, because it shows that he believes in grace because he comes in contact with Jesus. He knows grace heals. Jesus himself tells him that he's healed. But yet he chooses, for whatever reason, it's his own reason, he chooses to say, but I can't see. And Jesus tells him to go on home. And then he chooses to see on his own terms in his own moment. And whether it's a couple of minutes or a couple of days or a couple of months, that's not the point. The point is that it shows that even though we're healed, even though we're in the presence of Jesus, we can choose to, however you want to put it, ignore it, deny it, not enjoy it, oversee it, not choose it. I mean, they really all apply. But then look, there's others. Like the lady who crawls on her hands and knees and she says, I don't need to talk to Jesus. All I need to do is touch the back of his wranglers and I'll be healed. And she is. What's the difference between the blind man who can't see right away and Jesus says, look, you're healed, go home. Or the woman who says, I don't need to talk to anybody. I just need to touch their clothing and I'll be golden. That's the difference between two people's belief systems, two people's priorities, two people's way they are choosing to see themselves and what they're buying into. So it's hard to make sense of your situation. I'm sure it is. It's tough for me sometimes. And it was difficult at times to see that the choices. We got a Jim.
Your story is Mark chapter 10 verse 46 with blind Bartimaeus. But you know,
read it.
Well, it says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then they warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he arose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, in the Old Covenant, folks, Jesus was the centrifuge. He was the place where the power was at. It was like he was a nuclear power plant all unto himself. When he walked, if people went where he went, they could receive of the anointing or the presence or the grace that was on him. Well, Jesus made it available for everybody to receive him, and by receiving him, receive that same grace, that same glory, that same anointing, that same presence, residue, however you want to say it, but it's the essence of God in this world that becomes tangible for the human being. Jesus was that for this man. But for us today, he's living on the inside of us. That's the mystery. Paul said the great mystery of the church is Christ in you, not with you. He was with people of the old covenant. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now we have the ability to literally partake of the essence or that presence of God all the time. And that's the difference. When choices are made in the presence of the Lord, that's where you see change. That's what this show's all about, bringing people into a greater awareness of his presence, the fact that he's real. The grace of God. And the more really becomes, the easier it becomes for anyone to make a decision for him.
That was really good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I see out of blind Bartimaeus. There's a bunch of things. You know, this is what I love about Scripture. It's not twisting anything. It's that there are multiple ways to gather information out of one particular passage.
It's what I always tell you, that the book, the Bible, the Betty Crocker cookbook, whatever you want to call it, it is so redundant. I mean, they explain things hundreds of ways.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they do that is because of people are individuals. And so if you take something and you provide it in different perspectives, in different ways, it allows for everyone to understand the point.
Right.
It allows for volumes of people to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
We got an email here that says, both of you, Jim and BJ, have been through a lot this past month in Ranger 2. Stay with us, okay, BJ? I'm being selfish and thinking also of Lady Ranger. We need you all with us. That's from Debbie. We got another one here that says, forgot to mention, I'm so happy to hear the jingle of Ranger's collar again. Can they hear that collar?
Well, they can hear us chew.
Apparently so. Deco just loves it when
he hears it. That's not tobacco, folks. That's food.
Yeah. Besides her bark, it's one of his favorite parts of the show. Okay. Oh, we got something from Stacy Skierski. It says, Jim just mentioned having a resolve. I explained having a resolve to someone just this week. There is all the difference having complete confidence in grace. Yeah. Stacy Skierski, way down upon the Suwannee River, Live Oak, Florida.
That's right.
Is there really a river called Suwannee?
There is. Yep.
I just thought it was a song.
Nope.
It says, "Hello, Ranger, BJ and Jim. I have been listening for over a year now, but this is my first time contacting the show. Listening to what you have been through reminds me that as long as we are here on this earth in these flesh and blood bodies, we are subject to wear and tear, but God is able to repair us so fast that it will put medical science to shame. The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. God needs all his warriors on the battlefield." That was from someone named Tina.
Hey, I want to, and thank you, Tina, I want to share something, too, that, and this is said in actually as kind as I can say it, but, you know, for everyone in these past 4 weeks, and we obviously, we're not trying to be on the show talking to nobody. I mean, we're thankful that people are listening. We very much appreciate
absolutely
all the comments, the fact that people are ardent listeners. They listen regularly, and for that, we're thrilled.
Yeah.
Yet, I think everybody that's listened long enough knows our goal is not for you to listen forever. Our goal is for you to build such a wonderful relationship with God that whether you did or didn't, or whether there were 4 weeks where you didn't hear anything, you would be sailing along just as real as if you were hearing something to encourage you, because you have something yourself. So I just wanted to share that, you know, this last 4 weeks for you listeners, I think it actually might cause you to look inside a little bit and ask yourself, hey, was I feeling like I was all alone because I didn't have the show? Did I feel like maybe I needed it because I couldn't do it on my own, or I needed their encouragement? Listen, everything about what we do is for you, there's no doubt. But if there was a time where the show wasn't here, if there was a period that went longer than 4 weeks, do you know that if you looked inside, you could have your own show with Jesus?
Yeah.
And you could have amazing days. And it's possible sometimes that taking the training wheels off is what helps the little kid to realize there's another world out there when you can go faster and farther without these training wheels.
I think it's... sometimes it's a little spooky knowing that we have people listening all the time, and that there's a certain
dependency.
No, a certain sense of they're looking at the show for information, advice, comfort, a direction. It puts a fiduciary responsibility inside me of, I better know what I'm doing, what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's my world. Go back all to those years at Prayer and Healing Center. I mean,
this is what you do your whole life.
Wow, that's what'll bring humility to you.
It's not uncommon to have that responsibility because of my whole life has been. Helping people with their horses.
You've been in charge. So you've had responsibility. Always.
I mean, horse clinics, books,
right.
Radio show about horses here on the ranch. All my clients. I mean, my whole life is centered around servicing the needs of horses and people relying on me and paying me. I mean, actually paying me good money for my knowledge and ability to take care of their horses. So the responsibility is not unfamiliar to me, but the subject matter is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so that is always just a little, kind of little teeter-tottery for me, you know. Not fear, but just kind of, you know, you better keep your eye on the ball. You know, you better make sure that you learn, enlighten, and be willing to put up or shut up. because, I mean, talk is so cheap. I mean, one thing that made me mad was, is in the middle of the night, in that hospital room, the guys made sure that I listened to, I mean, you came in my room and remember I was listening to that one nincompoop, you know, that was talking about how, you know, you're sinners and you're wrong and you need to accept the fact that you're wrong. And, you know, you got one foot in hell and the other foot on a banana peel and you're going to be as burnt as a charcoal briquette in a moment's notice. You're just bad. You've always been bad and you're all sinners. And God loves you anyways.
Yeah, and I was just thankful I could actually leave the room that night and not have to endure any more of that.
I know.
God help me I had to listen to that stuff.
Yeah, you know, my hospital bed had the remote controls for the TV on the side of the hospital bed with the changer and volume and everything. And there was speakers like headphones strategically placed on the side of your head. And so even if you had them blasting in your brain, it was still pretty quiet in the room. But you could hear, right?
Oh, yeah.
You could hear what was going on in the TV. And, yeah, that guy is just nuts. But, boy, he sure is raking in the bucks, isn't he?
I guess.
Holy smokes.
Hey, before we go, I want to share a couple of scriptures that I think would be good to just help drive home the point of our discussion tonight. You know, Paul was obviously used by God in a wonderful way, especially when it concerned to the scriptures that we actually have. I mean, he wrote more, quote-unquote, books than anyone in the Bible. I don't know if you put word for word, tit for tat, whether he wrote more words or not, but he certainly wrote more books. And we know his travels. Everywhere he went, he established a church, a place where the people that were believers and that were the church could come together and testify and progress and share their progression. He established that everywhere he went, except in Athens, because in Athens, it's where the Areopagus was. And that was one of those... The Areopagus. It was that kind of amphitheater type thing where they hew it out of the stones. The Greeks, you know, would do that, and they'd have a big stage.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And there would be tremendous resonance and sound.
Yeah.
Okay, and they would do a lot of their big Stoic talks and then plays and all that kind of stuff. Well, at this big, huge center, everybody was gathered, and Paul got up, and he preached a message. Now, some people, you know, really love this, and I'm not against this. I mean, Paul talked about the unknown God. There was a place, it probably looked like, you know, some of the places that when I grew up, there was a Catholic place, a shrine, where they had statues of everybody, you know. I mean, people would come from all over the place to come to this place and just walk around to the different saints and all and see their statue. And so it might have been like that. Well, Paul saw that there was a subscription to the unknown God, and it was just like a pedestal, but no statue on it.
Oh, really?
So he got up and talked about, I saw that one over there, the unknown one. Well, it's in him, I live, I move, and I have my being. In other words, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. So you're talking about on the debate team, no one's going to beat Paul, okay?
Right.
He's the top of the top. Well, he took that statue, turned it into a sermon about the unknown God. And guess what? No miracles. No healings. There, it says that there were a few people and a few women that gave their heart to Jesus. And he didn't establish any church. And he came back to Corinth licking his wounds. And now this is what he says. I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful? Let me see if I'm reading the right passage again. No, I'm not. Isn't that great?
Well, just find it. I got an email to read.
Okay.
Just find it. You're all right.
I'm on a good roll here, folks.
Don't worry about it. You're doing fine. Besides, it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, I can.
We got... I like that. Oh, I can. Like you're just figuring that out.
I got it.
Good God, man. 4 minutes ago. Jim, BJ Ranger, this is the best show you have ever done. Seen I don't have to worry or know everything, just trusting Grace and talking with the guys. Thank you. Grace and peace. Linda DeVore, Platte City, Missouri. That's from Kent and Linda. Let's see. Got another one here that says, First Thessalonians. 5:11 comes to mind. Encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Okay. Well, that was nice.
So okay, 1 Corinthians 2, it says, and I, brethren, remember now he's coming back after his failure. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And this is going to go hand in hand, BJ, with what you made comment to yesterday, that testimony is not information. He went on to say, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So what's he saying? When I was in that Areopagus, in that theater, I was trying to put on an impressive speech. But I didn't use Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't tell the story. Yeah. And it goes on to say, I didn't come with this kind of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, what Paul's saying here is, if you want to do things the way that would please God and bring results for humanity and yourself, then you must realize that your life is not about words and not about speeches. Your life is about testimony. And one of the best instances to find this is over in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verse 1. And this is what it says here. Paul says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of condemnation or commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. What Paul's saying here is, he's saying that these Corinthian believers had so many testimonies of God's grace that you could read their story by watching their lives. Folks, that's the kind of information we want to give people, letting them read the story of Christ by watching our lives.
We got a text that says, great to hear your voice. Can you give us an update on Ranger's condition? Oh, the Metsons in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yep.
They're still up north. They'll be going south pretty soon.
They will. Time flies.
Well, we're supposed to have a long, wet winter here in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
So I bet the Metsons will be heading south pretty soon. Ranger's condition is like mine, rough, rugged, and hanging in there. And so the dog is like the man, and the man is like the dog, and thank you for asking. We got an email here. It says, over the past month, I checked every Tuesday night to see if you were live. I understand what Jim is saying, and I realized that if the show never returned live, how grateful I was for the teaching I received and the archives that are available. I don't know of anywhere else I can get this teaching where God is real and his grace is available. Please know how much you all are appreciated. Until next week, love and hugs. That's from Debbie. What are you doing over there? Packing up your food? Yeah. Says, the last 4 weeks was really a walk without training wheels time for me.
Good.
You go, Jim. At some point, got to get some testosterone about you and choose it. Take it, get it, and sometimes it takes tribulation to pull it out of you. Kind of like what an athletic coach does to his players to pull some heart out of them. I think Jesus did that with the lady he called a dog. I feel like this whole group has grown, the listeners and the hosts of the show. Both of you guys are, and your realness, I think, has helped a lot of people in a way nothing else could. This is from someone named Chris. That's a nice email.
That's nice. Yep.
Thank you. It says, I don't listen live all the time. I don't have that kind of time. What you guys talk about, I have put into action. God delivered me from ovarian cancer because I refused to let the doctor make me believe that I was going to die. I'm not a person who will lay down, and even when I feel too weak to fight physically, I got a mouth and will use the sword of this word. That's from someone named Tina. So that was nice. Good for her.
Yep.
I like all these texts and emails because they're as individual as the listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
And in their own way, everybody is true to themselves. What'd you think of the show? What do you think? You got something you want to read?
No, I'm good. I've read it. I think I did that just to put a
show,
little...
Did the show go the way you wanted it to?
I think so, yeah.
We've had a lot of texts and a lot of emails.
Well, it's just good. It's nice to know that we picked right up where we left off with those texts and emails.
Did you think that we would have nobody listening? Did that cross your mind?
Uh-uh.
It did me.
Didn't me.
I did. I thought we might be talking to ourselves.
No.
It's been 4 weeks. I mean, who would we know? Would people have drifted away? Had people go? I did. I thought, you know, we might just be talking to ourselves here.
No, I didn't think that. In fact, I was encouraged by, before the show started, you said there's 5 listeners already.
I did.
And I was encouraged, you know what? It's going to be a good show. There's going to be a bunch of people.
Here's Ranger's collar, folks. That's right. Are you ready to say something to music?
Depends on what music you find.
Oh, really?
Oh, you're right on the ball. Isn't
the show has been picture perfect.
My goodness, look at that. Well, everybody, I'm so glad that you're with us. And we've enjoyed the evening. We sure want to encourage you to dig deep right down into that very heart where God lives. To live your life out of your spirit, not out of your flesh. To be able to see the difference between the two. So you can make the kind of choice where God's so happy to be involved in your life and do things for you that you've always dreamed of and know in your heart that should be done. So let your testimonies abound this week. Thank you for listening. Until next week, we'll see you.
Well, I think it's been a very, very nice show.
I do too.
And I want to say thank you to everybody who texted and emailed the show. Welcome to any new listeners. And I want to say thank you to the people who just don't have a moment to listen live, but you faithfully listen each week when you can. As the show streams 24/7, we know you're there. And so does Ranger. And so thank you to you.
I think Ranger's missed the half show.
I know, she's getting a little mic hungry, isn't she?
I think so.
It'll take me 10 or 15 minutes to get tonight's show up and streaming. 4 weeks ago's show will start playing, so just be patient, and I'll get tonight's show up, and then it'll be there till next week. Jim, you going to be here next Tuesday?
I will.
I will, too. And Ranger, dog spelled backwards. Good girl. Boy, that she is vocal.
Hey, tomorrow night, Hardesty Library, 7 o'clock at 93rd and Memorial here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can watch it live.
On Facebook.
On Facebook or Jim Hockaday ministry page or the Abiding Presence ministry page.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger. I knew it. I just knew it. Our first show back. You know what, Jim? Our first show back.
I knew that's what they were looking for.
Me too.